What if you found a book that spoke of love, hatred, war, joy, wise counsel, virtue, and every emotion of the human heart? Would you read it? Oh yeah, you wouldn't be able to put it down. Most likely, it would become a bestseller, perhaps the best-selling book of all time. And guess what? Such a book does exist, and you probably already own it. The book I'm talking about is the Bible, the story of our salvation history. And so why do we hear so often that Catholics don't know their Bible? Maybe we need to take to heart what we sang at the Alleluia verse just a moment ago. Lord, open the scriptures to us. Make our hearts burn while you speak to us. For God does speak to us in the scriptures, but if we never open them ourselves, then we'll miss out on hearing the voice of God. As St. Augustine said, when you pray, you speak to God, but when you read the Bible, God speaks to you. So to whet your appetite to become more involved in reading the scripture, I'd like to look at the Word of God from three different angles. The Word of God as informative, the Word of God as performative, and the Word of God as transformative. First, the Word of God is informative. It tells the story of our salvation history. It chronicles the journey of mankind from creation to the fall, to the preparation for the Messiah, and eventually the coming of Christ and the founding of the church. But the Bible is also the inspired Word of God. Now, inspiration means that God has breathed his Spirit into the text of sacred scripture, guiding the human authors to convey faithfully what he wished to communicate. Now, this is very different from what we find in other religions that say that the sacred text was maybe directly dictated by God, or that they somehow mysteriously appeared in written form. No, God is the ultimate author of sacred scripture because he inspired the human authors to write what he wished to communicate. And he spoke by means of them. He worked in them and through them. And so we can say that God is the true author of scripture. He himself gives assurance that the human authors were writing the truths he meant to communicate, the truths for our salvation. And so the church constantly derives strength and nourishment from the Word of God, because it's just that. It's the Word of God. It's not a mere human word. Now, viewed in purely literary terms, of course, the Bible is not one book, but it's a collection of literary texts composed over many years. And these texts aren't always seen to have a coherent unity. Sometimes we find apparent inconsistencies. And so what is the unifying factor in the scriptures? It's Christ, Christ himself. We can say that all of divine scripture is one book, and that one book is Christ. It speaks of him, and it finds its fulfillment in him. And so we always have to read and interpret the scriptures in reference to Christ. But that's why the resurrected Jesus could say in the gospel today, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." And what did the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms say about the Messiah? They said that he would suffer, that he would die, and that he would rise again on the third day. And that's something that we say every weekend in the Creed when we profess our faith together. We say that he suffered death and was buried, and on the third day rose again in accordance with the scriptures. So it's an article of faith. It's central to our belief in who Jesus is and in what he did for us. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. After the resurrection, Jesus didn't need to use parables, but he spoke openly to his disciples. Would that God would open our own minds to understand the scriptures. But before God can open our minds, we have to open the scriptures themselves by reading them regularly. Secondly, the Bible is performative. It brings about what it signifies, and it changes the world. It makes things happen. The Old Testament is a storehouse of sublime teaching on God. It speaks of sound wisdom on human life, and it's a great treasury of prayers. In fact, what we call the Old Testament is really just the prayer book of Jesus. He knew and he quoted the law. He prayed the Psalms, just as all the priests and religious and many lay people do today in what's called the Liturgy of the Hours. But the New Testament went far beyond anything that the ancient covenant could imagine. For example, in the Old Law, they had animal sacrifices, which couldn't take away sin. But who would have thought that God would send his own beloved Son to be, as St. John said in our second reading, the expiation for our sins? And not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. And now he's not just the expiation. Now that he is risen, Jesus Christ is our greatest advocate, always pleading for us at the throne of our Heavenly Father. Despite their differences, the Old and New Testament do have a unity, and that unity follows on God's plan. The New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old is made manifest in the New. And we see that played out in our first reading today, when Peter said, God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets. And again, that central message that the Christ would suffer, and yet he would rise from the dead. So this was part of God's plan for our salvation. And Jesus truly rose from the dead. It was a real bodily resurrection. And he went to great lengths to prove that to his apostles. He ate a piece of baked fish in their presence. He showed them his hands and his feet. Now, the privileged place for the reading of Scripture is within the Mass. And that's why we always have a reading from the Psalms and at least two or sometimes three readings at every Mass. The Word of God is at work in our midst here in this celebration of Holy Mass. One of those readings is always from the Gospels, because these are the very words and deeds of Jesus himself. Now, word and sacrament are so deeply connected that we can't separate them. We can't have one without the other. The Eucharist opens our understanding to the Scriptures, while the Scripture, for its part, illumines and explains the mystery of the Eucharist. And unless we believe, truly believe, in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, then our understanding of Scripture will remain incomplete. And that's why the sacred text always has to be read and interpreted in the communion of the Catholic Church. In the sacraments, and especially in the Eucharist, the Word of God is performative to its greatest capacity. Thirdly, the Word of God is transformative. It's not just a communication of things that can be known. The Scriptures change our lives. Because when a believer reads and understands the Scriptures, he's in contact with the Word of God, Jesus himself. So besides encountering Jesus in the Scriptures at Mass, we all also have to read the Scriptures on our own. We have to study them. Have that personal reflection and meditation on the Word of God. Because the Word of God, capital W, Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have to ponder this mystery. Because as St. Jerome said, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. And we don't want to be ignorant of this central character in human history. So I ask you, can you commit to reading the Bible for 5 minutes every day. And that can be part of the 15 minutes of individual prayer that we're always talking about here at the parish. Earlier this past Lent, a priest at the seminary challenged all of the seminarians to memorize one scripture verse each day. He called it 40 for 40. Now, this was difficult at first because it meant that each day I had to write down the scripture verse, and then I had to refer to it several times each day, or maybe even more. But it was amazing. As time went on, the words began to be ingrained in my memory. It was like I was breathing in the very breath of God, because that's what the scriptures are, the Spirit of God speaking in our hearts. Personal meditation isn't an option for us Christians. It's a requirement. We have to be familiar with the sacred text. We have to ponder its meaning in our lives. We have to read the scriptures prayerfully to see how God is trying to communicate, to speak to us in our own individual lives. Because remember, when you read the scriptures, God speaks to you. So commit to reading the Bible. Even if it's just a few verses every day, the Bible is God's divine love letter to us. And we need to become familiar with it. We need to be ready to go when it comes to defending the scriptures, defending our faith. It's the very word of God. So I suggest that you start with the Gospels, maybe even the Gospel of the day, of daily Mass, which you can find online or in such prayer books as the Magnificat. Or simply pick out your favorite gospel and start with chapter 1. It's simple as that. Through his entire ministry, Jesus fulfilled all of the promises that God made in the Old Testament, especially those that referred to the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Messiah. So it's really Christ himself who is the unifying factor throughout the sacred scriptures. And ultimately, we want to be in touch with him, in touch with the Word of God, who is life-giving, who died for us, who rose for our salvation. And so we have to ponder, to contemplate the scriptures in our lives. So dust off your Bibles. God is still speaking to us in the scriptures, and we have proof of that in the readings today. Those readings that highlighted the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because once he rose, he changed everything. He changed the course of history, and he changed our individual lives. And he continues to speak to us today in a way that is informative, performative, and transformative. We just need to open this exciting, intriguing, joy-filled, wise book to hear God speaking in the depths of our hearts. May God bless you.